Well, now we go to my first and only guest. And I have before me an article which was posted on the website of Evangelist Luis Palau recently. The headlines are, more than 425,000 people hear Evangelist Luis Palau during historic Guatemala festival. And I won't bore you by reading this whole thing, and certainly won't tax my guest's patience as he waits on the phone line. But it does say that Luis Palau met with Guatemala's president, first lady, vice president, three ministers of state, and they all came to the festival. And what does it say here? There were 3,200 churches involved in this festival. Of course, that's what he has, is festivals. It's just a big carnival. We've talked about that in the past. We probably will touch on that again. Also, in private meetings with Palau were the president, his cabinet, Supreme Court members, military leadership, police cadets, lawyers, judges, doctors, mayors, other top-level dignitaries. Local leadership included the president of the Evangelical Alliance of Guatemala, hundreds of local pastors, 25,000 trained volunteers. Then it talks about an outreach effort in the community, providing meals for 40,000 underprivileged children, so on and so forth. And finally this, before we go to our guest, commenting on the campaign, Palau stated, "I have had the joy of ministering in Guatemala for more than 40 years, but what distinguished this campaign from any other was the level of impact, the depth of penetration to all levels of society. Never have we seen such access to government leaders, business professionals, military personnel. It's a testament to the power of the gospel," unquote. I probably might say, or you might say, it's a testament to the power of a good PR campaign, quite frankly, in bringing all those people together, because as he says himself, this is a holistic model for evangelism and community service. He's going to Scotland next, also Rwanda, and then Little Rock, Arkansas. Well, present at the festival in Guatemala on the outside of it was our friend and Christian brother Bert Kraft, missionary to Mexico, also a pastor of a church there. He does a very, very fine work. Brother Kraft, it's a real joy to have you with us again.
Thank you, Brother Ralph, for having me on the program.
Well, this article I was, jumping through from the Palau website makes it sound like, well, there was a powerful gospel work which took place in Guatemala, and Luis Palau was an instrument in the hand of God. I mean, I read the whole article. I just skipped through it just now, but that's the heart of the matter, so to speak, of that article. Well, you see things a little differently, apparently.
Well, yes, we do, Brother Ralph. Our gospel is the old gospel. It's the ancient gospel. It's the gospel of the prophets, the gospel of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the early churches. And it's not a modern-day, gimmick-oriented, man-centered, Holy Spirit-less gospel that is so common today. It's human manipulation, psychotic trying to make man come to a decision or do something in the flesh and humanly speaking so that he is a new creature in Christ, and that's completely impossible.
Seems to me that what this Palau is doing is really heart hardening. I mean, there is this danger of hardening hearts with all of this. The Bible warns against craftiness, deceit, guile, flattering words, enticing words of men's wisdom when it comes to the gospel. And he has, as you know full well, makes use of all sorts of, there's motocross and racing. I don't know what all he does, but all sorts of this, skateboarding, rock and roll music. And then also, now tell me if it was like that in Guatemala. Maybe it's different in Guatemala, but when he was in Nebraska, which is 6 hours from here, 7 hours from here, we gave literature to people to take out to his so-called festival. And we were reading newspaper accounts, and we did our research, and there were actually Catholic priests on the grounds of this festival doing confessions, taking confessions. And there were tables with Catholic literature on it, and there were priests in the leadership of the thing. Was it similar there, or was it a little bit different down there?
Well, this group of evangelistic workers, and they have nothing really to do with evangelism nor the gospel itself, but they modify their tactics, their methods, the way that they work amongst the people according to what that culturally would be tolerant in the evangelical community. And so in Guatemala, there was, that we saw, there was not any of the BMX racing or those kind of things, but there were service-oriented services, medical services. And then to the children, the young people, there was dancing. There was all kinds of clowns and all kinds of carnival-like tactics. We actually went in and saw some of that before we started distributing the literature there in Guatemala. You know, the men that we teach here don't really understand how devilish these tactics are and the extremes that they're willing to go to attract people to the so-called gospel. And so we were there for a half an hour. We watched some of the dancing and some of the sensuality and appealing, watching the children imitate them in dancing and believing that this is part of the gospel ministry and coming to Christ.
You mentioned sensuality, senses driven. Is that a problem you run into quite a bit, where people kind of like Palau come in and kind of take advantage of the people and really, you know, appeal to the senses more than anything?
Well, you have to understand the Latin makeup, the makeup of Latin American people is a very, very fleshly, sensual culture. You'll find that most of your scientists, most of your thinkers, do not come out of the Latin American world, but rather your artists, your singers, your actors, things along that line that are related to entertainment and to sensual pleasure. And this is quite a problem in all of Latin America, and this is one of the reasons that Pentecostalism and charismaticism prevails in the Latin American world. And because they do not preach and teach doctrine. They do not instruct verse by verse through the scripture. And I'm making a broad statement, and I realize there may be a couple exceptions to that, but typically, they are not students of the Word of God. They do not base their doctrine and their practice on the Word of God. And, any church here that is left without sound leadership, sooner or later will become and will go into the charismatic or Pentecostal movement.
So you were in Guatemala. And here's Palau. You're on the outside. He's doing these things like 40,000 meals for poor people, medical things. You must have really looked like the bad guys on the outside of this thing, out there with a concern for the gospel, because as much as certainly as Christians we want to have a concern for people's physical needs, but we have to stand against false gospels, no matter what the people are doing otherwise that's good. We have to stand against false gospels. So I suppose there was a little bit of misunderstanding with what you were doing.
Well, that's true of all gospel work, Brother
Ralph.
As you probably know better than I. You know, whenever you take a stand for truth and you oppose error, you oppose false doctrine, false gospels, everything that is opposed to holiness and righteousness and the truth of God's word, there's always opposition. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't get away from that if you believe, embrace, and propagate the true gospel and true doctrine.
Well, you put quite an investment into this in time and traveling. How far did you have to travel to go to this thing?
Well, we don't actually measure time by distance. We measure it by time. It took us almost 2 days to get there. We after the Luis Palau event in November of last year, here the men were very encouraged. We put the challenge before them if they'd like to go to another country and work the festival, that they would have to get their passports and so on. It would have to fall upon them, the expenses and everything. And we actually ended up going with a team of eight men, and we traveled from Oaxaca all the way to the city of Tapachula, which is right on the Mexico-Guatemala border. We crossed over, didn't know anybody, didn't know where we were going to stay. We were carrying 20,000 pieces of literature, booklets actually. It was actually 20 boxes of literature, and we had to carry all that by hand across the border and then into the capital city, look for a place to stay, for housing, and for 3 days while we were there. And it was, logistically, it was very, very challenging, but it was very rewarding. It was a blessing, and the men's hearts were moved not only by being able to do the work, but also the time that we shared together, the spiritual challenges that we had, and sharpening, as iron sharpens iron, so we were able to sharpen and bless one another.
So our God supplied all your needs.
Amen, as he always does.
Yeah, that's right. These are eight men from your church then?
They are actually from the congregation here in the capital city of Oaxaca, and then several other congregations throughout the mountain and other places where we have worked.
Well, we really admire those evangelical Mexican people. I mean, because they must sometimes get, at the very least, looked down on by their family and friends, which are, if their family and friends are Roman Catholic in a very strongly Roman Catholic country, I mean, they must at some point suffer some reproach for their faith, don't they?
Well, they actually suffer more reproach than I do and my family does. Obviously, we're looked down on as outsiders, even though I have seven children born right here in Oaxaca. They don't consider us from this country, but they are looked down strongly by their own and rejected many times for the gospel's sake.
So we ought to remind people to pray for them.
Well, sure, we should all pray for them. They
That's
are
right.
Many times not in bonds of chains, but in bonds of criticism, bonds of all kinds of things that afflict the Christian and the Christian life.
Now, you mentioned a booklet you took down there. It's a good booklet. Tell us a little bit about the booklet, because this tells us about what you were trying to accomplish when you were in front of this Luis Palau ministry.
Well, in September of last year, we sat down and wrote a book entitled The Heart of the Gospel, in Spanish, El Corazón del Evangelio. And we set forth that the gospel has nothing to do with what man does or what man tries to do to become a Christian or a child of God. It's not inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. It's not participating in baptism. It's not calling upon the name of the Lord. It's not anything that a human being would do. But the heart of the gospel centers in the death and the resurrection of Christ, that our salvation is completely dependent upon all that Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He was buried as a testimony to his actual death, and then he rose again 3 days later. God entirely accepted the sacrifice, the offering of his son on behalf of a people, and he was completely and entirely pleased with that, and then he was seen by many, many witnesses also as a testimony to that resurrection. And our whole gospel message centers in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach that to all men everywhere. We preach it to religious men. We preach it to Catholic men. We preach it to the worst down-and-out sinners. We preach the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And then we trust the power of the Word of God. We trust the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Sure, we urge men, we plead with men, we weep for men, we pray for men, but ultimately we know that when it comes down to it, salvation is of the Lord. It's the work of God and His Spirit in the heart and life of sinners.
And so what you're saying is that you quoted from Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or at least you alluded to it. And so what you're saying is you're standing against this sort of, I suppose some people call it quick prayerism and so on and so forth. There's all sorts of names for it. But the sinner must hear the true gospel, not just some sort of various invitation or something, but he must hear the true gospel, which you just shared with us. And then we urge the sinners to call upon the name of the Lord.
Well, we stand completely against decisional regenerationism,
right,
whereby that men are regenerated or made new creatures, are birthed into the kingdom of God by a human decision or a human act or a human merit or some kind of human performance. We believe that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God, and that men are quickened, they're made alive, they're brought forth from the spiritual dead, and they're made new creatures in Christ. And then all of the different aspects that we could not do outside of Christ, we now can do in Christ, who strengthens us. We receive Christ, we embrace Christ, we repent of our sin, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, We love Christ. We now follow and desire to be followers and to walk in obedience to Christ. But all of that comes as the power of the Spirit of regeneration works in the life and the heart of the sinner.
That's right. Now, you're out in front of this place handing out these booklets. How'd it go? I mean, just go ahead and tell us about it. A great number of people coming to this festival. I think we could call it a carnival, quite frankly, with what Palau does. How did it go?
Well, we obviously didn't know what to expect. Guatemala is known to be the strongest evangelical country in all of Latin America. In fact, Palau on his site before the conference, before the festival or the carnival, as you mentioned, had a statistic that 48% of all of Guatemala was evangelical. And they were actually predicting, I don't know how you can do this, Noah preached 120 years and didn't see the results that these were supposed to have seen, have seen in less than a week. But they were predicting by the time that Luis Palau left the country several days later that over 50% of the country would be evangelical, and that would be something that would be entirely unique in the Latin American world, that over 50% of the population would be evangelical. We don't believe that. We found that evangelicalism in the country of Guatemala is very, very commercial. We found that, that men easily profess the gospel. They don't want to suffer for truth's sake. We had one man that shared with us the great blessing it was to have Luis Palau come to his country. And when one of our Mexican preachers expressed that it wasn't bringing blessing, but it was actually bringing a curse upon the people, making them two more full the child of hell, hardening their hearts, as you mentioned just a few moments ago, it did not bring blessing, it brought a curse. And any time a false gospel is to be found, the Bible tells us what we are to think of that false preacher, that false gospel bearer, and it says, let him be anathema. Yeah. In other words, God says, may his soul be cursed forever in the eternal lake of fire. Not only is he destroying, not only his own soul is being destroyed or believing the truth and falling away from the truth and apostasy, but he's leading hundreds and thousands and millions away from the truth that is in Christ Jesus and the true salvation. And so we actually went there knowing that our message and our literature, our witness was completely against everything that was being accepted, promoted, and we were spiritually preparing ourselves to suffer persecution for truth's sake. We actually broke up into four teams of two men each team. We didn't take any ladies with us. Four teams of two men, and there was only one entrance and one exit into this whole stadium. It was the Democratic Park, Parque de la Democracia. And so we actually had a great situation as far as being able to contact all the people. Obviously, we took 20,000 pieces of literature. There were over 200,000 pieces people there. We tried to get one in the hand of at least every family, and we failed just because we didn't have enough literature. But we were able to distribute the literature on the first night. Where I was at, somewhere probably around 10 o'clock at night, a man came up and stood in front of me, and he says, I know who you are. You were in Oaxaca. And I can't believe it that you come all this way and make all this expense to come here and to do what you're doing. And I said, sir, I said, we have a mandate from our Lord that we're to take the gospel to every creature and every nation. And that's why I'm here. And in fact, you have the same mandate. The only thing is you have to believe the true gospel and embrace the true gospel before you can preach it in the rest of the world. And the guy rebuked me, walked away. I didn't know who he was, but because he had been in Oaxaca and now in Guatemala, I knew that he was really intimately tied to the Luis Palau event.
Yeah.
And so the next night, as we were working, and we suffered much more persecution the second night than the first night, this man came out and in one of the buses that Luis Palau had a tourist event for all the foreigners who would want to come and participate in the festival, but he would give them a tour of the whole country during the week, He charged every couple about $3,000, and an individual was right around $2,100. And all these folks from 700 Club and all these kind of moderate evangelical circles, there, a whole bus of them came out, and he was in the wheel well of the bus, in the front of the bus, and he came out and he was rebuking me with his finger, and I didn't really realize who he was at first, and so I just greeted him. And then all the folks on the bus began to stand up and come close as they could with their digital cameras to snap my picture and obviously to discredit me in the ministry that we have. And I came home and did my homework on the internet and found out that this guy's name is Mike Silva, S-I-L-V-A, and he is actually having smaller festivals just like Luis Palau all over the world, particularly in Latin America. In fact, he's going to be in Honduras here in just a couple days for a whole week. We're not going to be able to work that event, but he's going to be there. And I wrote him a letter when I got back, and I confronted him with, and asked him why he was preaching a false gospel and embracing devilish and demonic methods for trying to bring men to Christ and so on and so on, and I've never heard back from him since. But on the second night, they were looking more for us than they were the first night. One of the men came over to one of the Mexican preachers and said, they're getting ready to hang one of your co-workers over there. You better go see what it's all about. And the brother just calmly said, well, his life is in the hands of God. May the will of the Lord be done. And he just continued to work in the place where he was at. Of course, the Lord spared the life of the one that they were going to hang. But there was tremendous opposition. We had people come up and principally people that are intimately tied with Palau come up and rip the booklet up in our face and do different things. But overall, brother, we rejoice. We're getting a response now via email, and we've had pastors write in with questions and asking about the gospel. And
are you talking about people that got the booklet from you?
People that got the booklet.
Oh,
we actually had all of our contact information in there. Ministerio Gracia Abundante. How they could contact us by snail mail. How they could contact us on the internet by email. And so we're still ministering from that event, though it was about 3 weeks ago. We rejoice that we're continuing to have ongoing ministry there. And of course, we don't know these people. We don't know. We've had people ask if we have a presence or a church in Guatemala that they would like to attend. Obviously, we don't have anything at this point, but we just wait on the Lord. We didn't know how things would go. Neither did we know how we would follow up everything that everyone who would respond or be interested in the gospel message. But we're trying to minister to them through email.
That is a fantastic report. It's very, very encouraging. So 20,000 pieces of literature went out then, and you could have gotten rid of far more, probably.
Probably close to 50,000, Brother Ralph. Mm-hmm. The people came out just like cattle out of a chute, but hour after hour after hour, it was just unbelievable. It was something that just broke your heart as you watched it, to know that all those people went there expecting to hear something from the Word of God, something from the Bible, and they were deceived.
It is interesting how quickly, for instance, the Palau people, I know you dealt with some of them. I think you dealt with some of them that you knew were working with him at the last place, too. And I've seen it myself in these sort of situations. Love for everyone, peace and love, you know, and joy. And suddenly, when it's someone like yourself, their heart is shown pretty quickly. You can see it in their eyes. You know, they just get filled up with all sorts of venom, don't they, toward the true gospel and true gospel preachers.
Well, they definitely hate the truth.
Yeah.
And unregenerate men hate truth. Regenerate men love truth, and they come to Christ, and they come to the light. But unregenerate men always run from truth, and they hide from the gospel, and they will not come to the light lest their deeds be revealed.
There's a lot of money involved in these things too, aren't there? I mean, there's a man building his own kingdom, and I mean, there are genuinely, what can we say, well-meaning people who are deceived, that, you know, at the lower level, so to speak, that they pull in. But there is there's a kingdom being built for a man, and there's a lot of money involved in these things.
You know, we just can't even begin to imagine how many millions of dollars goes into something like this. I mean, the best equipment, the best platform, the best communication devices, they are actually now, as of this one in Guatemala, They are actually broadcasting live over the internet these evangelistic circuses, and you can watch the events live on the internet now.
So Guatemala's been won for Christ, if you would listen to what these people have to say, probably.
Their testimony is that our testimony is that it's a very religious country,
mm-hmm.
that the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ is very, very commercial. You can put it on any item and it will sell. You put you can put a Bible verse on a can of liquor and it'll sell. But that does not make for regeneration. That doesn't make for a God-glorifying people and a people who've been bought and redeemed by the blood of Christ.
As we were talking earlier, I'm a little slow here. We're coming off our own preaching conference and some other things we were up to, so I got to get back in the swing of things here. But I couldn't think of the exact place in James, and now I've thought of it, James 1 and 18, where it says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And so there you see, it's of his own will, of his own power, that he begets us with the word of truth preached. So that's the instrument, the word of truth preached, but it's the power of God. It's by the will of God, the sovereign will of God, that men are saved. Let's go on, unless you have anything else to add about that. Let's go on to, if you have other things you'd like to share. I haven't talked to you for a couple of months. Are there some other things you could update us on?
Well, we do rejoice. I just want to just give a testimony of thanksgiving and for the opportunity to go to Guatemala,
yeah.
To be a witness there, to be considered the off-scouring of the whole earth, to be the object of scorn, to be called the devil, to be called Beelzebub, I guess we'd say in English, to be identified with Satan's kingdom. Virtually every nasty name and every filthy thing that you could say to someone, was directed toward us. And yet the Bible says to be rejoiced and exceeding glad, knowing that our reward is great in heaven, that they've spoken falsely about us, about our message. And, we do rejoice. A young man came up and he spoke English to me, which is very unusual. He said, I want to apologize for the actions of my own countrymen here. He said, they're taking the track and they're reading the back part of it that tells them that the gospel is not inviting Jesus into your heart or giving your heart to Jesus or one of these things. And they all told me to get rid of the track, to rip it up, to throw it away. And I just decided I was going to read it before I did that. And he said, you know what? This is one of the best things I've ever read. He said, this is so true. He said, but my own people are reacting to it. And he stood and talked to me about 15, 20 minutes after he left. Of course, we had a conversation amongst dozens that were listening around us. And many stuck their hand in and asked for one of the booklets after his witness to the fact that the tract was a true message and it was a blessing and one of the best that he had ever read. And so we praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to silence wicked men and how to open doors, and we just all the men gave the same testimony. It was a privilege to be there. It was a privilege to be able to be identified with the true gospel and to suffer for Christ's sake. And I like to challenge Brother Ralph. I'd like to challenge those who in other parts of the world where these kind of men will be. It's just not Luis Palau. There's all kinds of these events all over the world all the time, whereby there are opportunities to give witness to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to encourage those in Arkansas. He's going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas this year. And wherever his henchmen and others are around, and many are getting started under his ministry, and they already have their own ministry. But we need to be zealous, a people zealous of good works, zealous for the gospel's sake. The zeal of the Lord's house must consume us. And we must not be silent. We must have the voice of a trumpet. We must sound forth the gospel message, the truth of God's word. And we're just simple people here. Obviously, the men that accompany me are many. You know, they went in their sandals. They're farmers, but they're men who love God, who believe God's word, and are committed, and their lives are committed to God being glorified and the truth of God being extended to the othermost parts of the earth. And we just like to encourage others to get involved in that vision.
men in sandals that love the Lord confronting this powerful ministry machine. That is a very thrilling picture to me. You know, they're following their master. They're going in the power of God, though. These people, Palau and the others, are using all these modern marketing techniques, and they have millions and millions of dollars. But to see these men stand against it all for the cause of Christ, to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, that's a wonderful thing. And you've encouraged us. And yes, he being Palau, will be in Scotland later on in the year, in Rwanda, in Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't know where else, but these are places where Christians can rise up and do what you've done as well, we trust. And there are other opportunities. There are these rock, Christian so-called rock festivals. There are all sorts of things going on where there needs to be a true gospel witness. Well, thank you so much, Brother Kraft, Pastor Kraft, for being with us. You've greatly encouraged our heart today.
Well, it's a joy to be with you, Brother Ralph. Thank you for having me on, and may God be glorified in all.